Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 644. It's the 22nd of November, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Louis Coates here, CEO of Kibo Mining. That's K-I-B-O ticker. And Louis talks about their collaboration agreement with General Electric. A big deal there. Plus, also, today's suggested one for your watchlist is Hermes Pacific Investments. HPAC is a ticker, submitted by Will. Thank you very much indeed for submitting that. By all means, listen, if you know of a stock that you think has potential and you think should be on other people's watch lists, go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog and you'll see one of my posts there. Just click that, scroll down, and you see a link there to fill a form. It takes about 5 minutes, that's all, and I could be featuring it on a future podcast. Also, I have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Louis Coates here, CEO of Kibo Mining. That's K-I-B-O ticker. Louis, thank you for joining me.
Hi, Justin. Nice talking to you again.
Yeah, so where in the world are you, Louis?
I'm in London today.
Oh, cool. Well, excellent. Well, it's nice to be on our shores here, because I often speak to you in South Africa there. And I've got to say, yesterday a nice RNS came out, positive news, shows you're working hard there at, on the MBI Coal to Power project. But before we get to that, the detail of that, for people new to the podcast or haven't heard of Kibo, can you explain, Louis, what Kibo is all about, please?
Yes, Justin. As I've explained before, Kibo is a multi-commodity development company in Tanzania, where we are focusing on three flagship projects. The first one being our Mbeya Coal to Power project. The other one is our Imweru Lubandu Gold project in the Lake Victoria Gold Area. And then obviously also our nickel project, the Aneti Nickel project, which is more in the central parts of the country. And then we also have a couple of joint ventures that we're working on, one gold and one uranium.
Yeah, so you got a lot going on. Like I said, yeah, Empire Coal to Power project, Lake Victoria Gold and Haneti project and joint ventures there. But the announcement, the RNS yesterday, was about the Empire Coal to Power project. Can you explain the detail of this, Louis, and you know how significant it is?
Yes, Justin, this is, of course, a very significant announcement for us in particular. As we announced earlier when we signed the MOU with General Electric or with GE, the whole intention or the whole drive in that was to create a strategic partnership between us and our preferred technology partner for the MCPP, or specifically more for the Mbeya power plant. Now, since we've announced the MOU, we've been working on putting together a proper and definitive collaboration agreement between us and GE. We were able to get to that point over the last weekend, and we also signed the collaboration agreement over the past weekend. Now, that collaboration agreement is exactly what it says it is. GE, in that agreement, is our preferred technology partner, which we're very pleased with, given the fact that GE is a world leader in this specific technology and has also been doing tremendous work in recent time towards getting this specific technology to a point where it is also very environmental friendly. But besides that, this collaboration agreement brings also on board GE as a partner in implementing the project, as we've said in the RNS today. And what that means is that they will be standing with us in the trenches in all aspects and all dimensions of this project to make sure that we bring this to a successful implementation.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it must be reassuring to have on board one of the, you know, the biggest companies in the world to support you through this project, mustn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. And what is particularly pleasing to us, Justin, is the way in which GE has joined this project. One would expect a big company like GE to be exactly that, a big company. But they've really gone out of their way to understand what it is that we were trying to achieve here, what the philosophy is that we are driving, what the fundamental economics are that we are driving in this project. And they've really made a huge effort to understand that. And they have, even before we signed the collaboration agreement, thrown their weight into this to such an extent that I was recently invited as a guest of GE to address a panel of 700 policymakers in Beijing, in China, to talk about infrastructure projects in Africa and how do you put together strategic partnerships for this. So it also shows how serious GE is about this project and how committed they are to work with us to make this happen and to make it a successful project going forward.
Wow, were you nervous, Louis, when you were standing up in front of 700 people there and talking about your project?
Yeah, exactly, yes. This was part of the Belt and Road Initiative in Beijing, which is a big initiative driven by the Chinese government towards revitalizing and kick-starting the global economy. And GE is one of their partners in that. And I was so privileged to be their guest at this particular summit in Beijing, where we discussed infrastructure development in Africa.
Yeah. And just give us, you know, for people not aware, just give us a sense of size of what you hope to achieve there at the Mbaya Coal to Power project.
Well, the initial phase, as we've stated before, is a 300 megawatt coal-fired power plant, where we will develop both the coal mine and the power plant at the same time. But we also know that this coal deposit is much bigger than what we've delineated so far. It's about 30% of the total resource that we will be utilizing for this 300 megawatt plant. So the plant has been designed and developed from the beginning to end up ultimately as a 1,000 megawatt power plant. First phase is 300 megawatts. The biggest constraint that we have at this point, why we're not expanding it beyond 300 megawatts, is because the grid constraints that we have in Tanzania, we cannot evacuate more than 300 megawatts initially now. The second phase is 400 megawatts, which would hopefully be earmarked for the export market, and the second 300 megawatts would be again for domestic use. But the bottom line is, eventually, we hope to end with hope to end up with 1,000 megawatts in production.
Yeah. So, Louis, it seems like you're keeping yourself busy there. Anyway, I mean, like I said, trouble is sometimes with the AIM market. You know, investors get wary when they don't get news every 5 minutes, pretty much. But I mean, you know, they can rest assured you're working behind the scenes very hard. Yeah.
Yes, we are. We are indeed in a phase now where we are extremely busy because, as we've announced to the market in the past, the phase that we are in now is all the commercial activities concerning finalization of the EPC contract, finalization of the OEM contract, finalization of the O&M contract. And so I can carry on finalizing the mining right application. And so I can carry on and on. There's an immense number of work streams happening concurrently at the moment. All of them well on schedule, all of them making excellent progress at this point. But this is not the sort of work. This is real, as I said earlier, work that gets done in the trenches. It's not high-profile, visible work. This is all backroom work that's happening at the moment, but extremely important to reach that critical financial close date or at the target date that we've set for that.
Okay, all right. And when is the date for that, Louis? What is the target for that?
Well, we're still hoping to achieve that towards the middle of next year. If we have it our way, hopefully even a bit earlier, although that would be very ambitious. The thing that we could not control is the fact that there were certain policy changes on the Tanzanian government side over the past year in terms of the procurement of projects of this kind. Although nobody wants to hear the word delay, these were, if there is such a thing, these were positive delays, because these were policy changes that we were advocating to the government for a long time, and which have now come around and which we're very pleased with, and I think which will in the long term benefit the project, albeit that we had a bit of a delay as a result of those policy changes. They were all all of those policy changes will work in the end towards the benefit and advantage of the project.
Okay, so how does the delay on account of the policy changes, you know, affect the ultimate delivery of the project, if anything at all, Louis?
Well, Justin, as we've said before, even in previous RNSs, we do not expect this to have any impact on the important milestones. In other words, when are we going to start construction, when will we be delivering the project, and so forth. So although we have to rearrange some of the work streams and reschedule and reprioritize some of the work activities, we do not see this impacting at all on the high-level timelines or milestones at this point in time. It is what it is. The phase that we are in now at the moment, we don't control all those activities. Up to now, we control the process and activities, but at the moment, there are other stakeholders involved as well. So all in all, we do not see this to have any negative effect or impact on the high-level timeline.
Marvellous. All right, Libby. Well, listen, you know, as we know, on Vox here, we have a follow button on your page, and every day on the podcast, I mention top five most followed companies that day. So can you give people who don't follow Kibo three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Well, as we said in the past, we now have three projects that are imminently, or which have a very clear and well-defined route towards completion or production: the coal mine, the power station, and then, of course, what we have not even discussed in this interview, Justin, is in the background the work that we're doing on getting our Inweru Lubondo gold project listed via a reverse takeover of Opera. That's happening in the background as well, albeit as a parallel process. And then thirdly, also the commitment and the ability of Kibo and its team to actually make these things happen, as we've proven over the last year, in particular, bringing this MCPP to the level where it is at the moment.
Marvellous. Louis, I love to chat to you as always, and I look forward to speaking to you again when you have some more news out.
Thank you very much, Justin. Nice talking to you again.
Okay, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list. It is Hermes Pacific Investments. Ticker is HPAC. It's been submitted by Will. Thank you very much, Will, for getting involved. What does the company do? Invest in emerging markets financial sectors. How many shares does the company have in issue? 2.33 million. Is that all? 85.5% held by the board of directors, so it's a low free float. What's the current price and market cap? It's share price 87.5 pence. Market cap 2 million. That's all it is. What revenue and profit loss did the company generate? In its financial results for the year ended the 31st of March 2016, the company had no revenues, as it does not have any operating businesses, and the company made a loss of $91,000, which is lower than the loss of $115,000 reported for the previous financial year. How much cash or debt does the company have? At the current year end, the company had a cash of $3.9 million. It lists three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, $4 million of cash versus a market cap of $2 million. And number two, less than 15% of shares in free float. And number three, nothing has happened in 3 years. All of a sudden, there's a flurry of buying this week. Something is brewing, .. And like I said, do your own research on any company mentioned on this podcast. They are investment ideas. Some ideas are good, some ideas are bad, some ideas are mediocre. So this is where you have to do your own research. So that's Hermes Pacific Investments, HPAC, submitted by Will. Thank you very much, Will, for that. Okay, here are the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. At five, Churchill Mining, CHL. At 4, Prospect Oil and Gas, PXOG. At 3, Superior, SEPU. At 2, it's Angus Energy, ANGS. And at number 1, doing very well recently. Some good results out, some announcements out. And like I said, Malky was on the podcast yesterday suggesting they now have resources of around about a billion barrels of oil. It's Hurricane Energy, H-U-R. All right, top 5. Most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning were at 5, Physiomics, that's PYC, Provisional Award of Innovate UK Grant. At 4, Union Jack Oil, UJO, completion of acquisition of Pedal 180 and 182. At 3, Asia Met Resources, Miscellaneous Minds and Money. That's they're appearing at the Minds and Money show in London. Plus, they've got an investor event going on. And I'd highly advise you to go and see Tony Manini, the main man. He's a very nice guy, and he knows his stuff. And you can ask him everything about the company, you know, about copper, everything. So that's going on. So check out that release there. And there's limited numbers, I think. So get in fast if you want to meet up with Tony and ask him about Asia Met. And obviously, his previous company is like Oxiana, which went from, what, 3 million market cap to 6 billion. At 2, most liked RNS, Prospect Oil and Gas Onshore Poland Well Update. And the construction pad there is going ahead as previously announced. And number 1, the most liked RNS on the Vox Market Twitter this morning was, again, Asia Met Resources, ARS ticker. Feasibility study update, all going well. And they talked about the crushing plant there, and it's going to take a lower capital expenditure, which of course will improve the net present value on that. And that's heading towards the feasibility study, which is towards the end of next year. And of course, that's when the feasibility is when it becomes economic. That's when you present that to you know, would-be investors, the bigger guys, you know, funds, institutions, stuff, and they will come on board on the back of that. So they're heading towards that. All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Listen, if you don't have the app, get it. It's free, but it's invaluable. Go to voxmarkets.co.uk/app, and you basically follow a company, any company, and whenever that company releases an RNS, you get straight via notification to the front screen of your smartphone whenever they release one. And it's free of charge, like I said, but it's worth thousands. You know what I'm saying? Thanks very much for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.